Welcome, everyone, to the brand new Bolt from the Blue podcast. We're talking about an evening where Pep and the guys and my good friend Bernard here went down to the Amex Stadium in Brighton, and the omens were good, guys. This was our 33rd league match of the season on a night when a certain Kyle Walker was 33 years old and 333 days. Guys, this was a night. This was a night when t-shirtsunited.com were offering their supporters, the United supporters, a blue shirt to wear with the city badge surrounded by the logo Dirty Cheating Bastards. It was a night when Philip Walter Foden, at the age of 23, overtook Eric Cantona by 2 goals. It was a night, guys, when former Nottingham Forest fan turned Manchester United supporter Brent De Cesare, aka Mark Goldridge, stopped his live watch-along for the Brighton versus City game, claiming that the league's gone and it was too boring. It was a night when, included, finally, in Kevin De Bruyne's 68 goals he scored from a header, Liverpool were beaten 2-0. We also learned that Joe Hart might return to Man City as an ambassador after retiring at the age of 37.
Joe, super Joe, yeah. We even sung that last night.
Well, guys, you're now listening to the dulcet tones of Bernard Denis. Bernard, how are you doing?
I'm all right, mate. I'm going to follow what you just said. I think we'll shut the pod there, shall we? Now, after all that informative facts, I mean, my snot-ridden, cold-ridden body still not recovered after about 3 hours' kip. I'm not going to be much to add to that, I don't think, today.
How did you get down there, Bernard? Was it with the fans' coach?
Yeah, I go with the official supporters' club coaches. So, when I get down, I can usually get a space or two, so it's all right. It's a quiet coach. It's not one of these beer coaches, thankfully. I'm far too long in the tooth for these beer coaches now. I just like a nice peaceful time. Although there was a bit of trouble on ours last night, but nothing too serious, just a couple of idiots throwing up all over the place and stuff. So can't hold the liquor, these young lads, you see, these lads, like we could in the day.
Absolutely. Were you down there with the offspring?
No, just on my own. He doesn't get to me. He gets to Wembley. That's about his limit at the moment with his... he gets told off by his missus if he goes wandering too far.
Okay. Well, Bernard, tell us a little bit about the stadium. I've never been there, and the atmosphere.
Yeah, it was... Actually, I mean, obviously, make a direct comparison. I think I've been 3 times now in the last 4 seasons. And it's in the middle of nowhere. It's obviously purpose-built. You go out into the fields and you can see the Brighton fans walking, but you don't know what the hell they're walking to because you can't see anything. It's just sheep and fields. So you think, well, it can't be far away. But these poor Brighton fans, I mean, some of them must have to walk about 2 or 3 miles to get to the ground where they park. It's pretty awful. It's not bad for away fans because the coaches are right behind where we go in. So it's ideal, a bit like the Etihad where we park up right behind it. And it's all right. I mean, obviously, if anyone's been to the old Goldstone ground, and was it with Dean Stadium they played in as well? It's far better than that. It seems to have a good, even though it's only a small area to queue in, they seem to have enough scanners, you know, when you get inside to scan your ticket. So that's pretty good. And the atmosphere is usually very good. It wasn't so much last night. Last season, I remember it being a bit more bouncy because, of course, they were heading for Europe, weren't they, Brighton, last year? So the crowd were up for it. I think everyone had a flag last year, if I remember rightly, all the Brighton fans. But, of course, you know, the City fans this year, I think I very rarely heard the Brighton. I think most of them were going after about 75 minutes. It was a bit quiet from Brighton, but, of course, we made up for it.
Okay, well, we're up against Brighton, and they were doing fantastically last season under De Zerbi. Unfortunately, their two best players, Moses Caicedo, was snaffled up by Chelsea and McAllister by Liverpool. But anyway, that's who the opposition were. Let's get into the lineups, Bernard. That's your speciality. How did you get on?
Yeah, I got 9. I was quite happy with 9. I think I had Diaz in my team, and I had Doku in my team. So I was quite happy with nine. Of course, there was three changes to the semi-final. He brought in back Ederson, of course, as expected. He brought his mate Gvardiol back in, which is pretty much expected. And I did have Kovacic in my team as well. He brought him back for this one. So we ended up with Ederson, Walker, Akanji, Aki, Gvardiol, Rodri, Kovacic, De Bruyne, Bernardo, Foden and Alvarez. And a very strong bench, of course, no Erling Haaland because he's obviously got a niggle at the moment. But Ortega, Diaz, Stones, Grealish, Doku, Gomez, Nunes, Bob Lewis, Diaz and Doku on the bench. That's a strong bench, mate. We have two Dokus there on my team. Hey, we've got two Dokus. Only one Doku. There's only one Doku, isn't there? So, yeah, a nice strong squad now with just Erling Haaland not available.
That's right. And interesting to note, the referee was Jared Gillett from Australia. And he was... Can we have him every week, please?
I mean, he might boil even more piss, of course. But, we'll have him.
All right, just going through the Brighton team here. Steele, Veltman, Van Hecke, Dunk. And that was who Gareth Southgate was really there to watch rather than Phil Foden, of course. Barco, Pascal Gross, the unlucky Pascal Gross, Baleba, Lallana, there's a name from the past, Motor, Gel Pedro, and Welbeck. And interestingly, among their substitutes, I'm not going to go through them, but my goodness, how the mighty are fallen. The great hope that used to play at Barcelona, Ansu Fati on the bench in the Brighton squad. So, I mean, that's quite interesting.
I thought you were going to say Chariots of Fire then. I thought I wondered what happened to him. I thought you were going to mention him.
Anyway, let's get into it, Bernard. So, how do you think City began the game? Were we jaded and leggy like last time?
Seemingly not. Whether the game had drawn on without scoring a goal, we would have got leggy, I don't know. But Brighton likes to play football. He was knocking it around at the back. I think their goalkeeper, Mr. Steele, does a good impression of Ederson as far as his control on the ball and what he does as in short passes. I'm not too sure what his long game's like. But, I think they started a little bit brighter, actually. I think they had an early chance, which Ederson held on to after about 2 or 3 minutes. But after that, really, with Mr. Gillett's help, it started to go a little bit right for us, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looked like we were passing it around quite patiently. Something happened in the 17th minute, Bernard, that you're not going to see very often, are you?
I tell you what, mate, there's two or three things happened last night you're not going to see very often. It's just simple, not just on the pitch. But, on the pitch, of course, if we're living in a world where Mr. Walker can notch up a couple of assists. I think we had a pop quiz question 2 or 3 weeks ago on Mr. KDB, didn't we? Where I said to you I actually said to you, do you know he's not actually ever scored a header? And you were shocked.
He never scores from a header.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what a header.
And it was a nice little chip in from Walker as well. I mean, he did everything right for it. I thought he had a generally poor first half. But that was superb from Walker. Nice little. He was looking for KDB, but I tell you what, KDB had it all to do, didn't he? And I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but I think one of the greatest goals I ever scored when I was playing out, Salford Sunday League, mate. And it was a diving header from a corner. I was 12 yards out. I flung myself at it, and I had air then, so I probably looked a bit like Kevin actually last night. You probably couldn't tell the difference. And I flung myself at it, and it just looped over the keeper into the far corner. I would have loved to have a video of that so I could play them both side by side, because no doubt my header was about 2 yards away or something like that, 2 yards out from goal, and I'm dreaming that it was 12 yards out. But what a goal. I mean, if you've got to score your first header, I don't think you could ask for much more, could you, than that one?
Yeah, guys, I have to admit something to you, confess something to you, Blues. I was watching a few of Bernard's pods this week, and I knew he was going to tell that story. I knew he was, because he did it in one of his... He did it in his match ratings.
We haven't got much to brag about, so I may as well brag about that.
It was fantastic, and that wasn't the only chance we had. I think a certain Mr. Alvarez is back in form, maybe just a little bit. What do you think?
Well, I wouldn't say he was back in form, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, I was doing as I did my story of the match, I think it took him five bites of the cherry before he scored his goal, because it that very old saying, if you remember it, it sort of sat nicely with my little story of the game. The fifth time's a charm. If that's a very old saying, Mike, you might have heard that one. And it was actually, the goal he did score was actually his fifth proper attempt. So it was fifth time's a charm for Alvarez, because what can I say? I think the goalie saved a couple, didn't he? But I think, again, he was just a little bit over or a little bit wide. But, well, this is it. He was playing, we're playing a false nine. I think Alvarez was more on the wing, wasn't he, Mike? Do you think? Was he playing more on the wing?
Yeah, he was.
Obviously, he was coming in a little bit. And, of course, KDB and Foden were swapping the false nine position, I think, taking turns. And, of course, without people like Doku, we needed that little width. And I thought it was Alvarez's best game for quite a long time. Although, as I said, I wouldn't have minded him being a bit more, getting another goal or two. He got one, which is okay. But I think he perhaps should have done better with another one or two of those. But, hey, we'll take that. I think there's three or four players last night who actually played quite well for the first time in a handful of games, you know, including people like Rodri, stuff like that, that actually looked their old selves last night.
Yeah, indeed. So from that goal until the next one about 10 minutes later, Bernard, anything to say before we get on to the big controversy of the game? There's always a bit of controversy.
Well, I think there's a few controversies, mate. Well, I think you can probably talk three or four that really Brighton fans wouldn't have been happy about, and I'm sure certain elements of the media and opposing fans. I think as soon as we scored the goal, they had a good chance. I think they had a free header, didn't they, which thankfully Dunk, big Mr. Dunk, rolls at the back post. A bit like the Everton goal against Liverpool the other night, when he just rolls at the back post, no one seemed to be on him. And of course, we didn't have that wonderful player that Liverpool had got, who was roams around endlessly trying to find someone to mark. But, of course, he headed it straight at Edison, so that was okay. But, yeah, Alvarez had his couple of chances. And then the free kick, Mike. I mean, I've not watched it back. Obviously, we were at the other end to where that action was. And Foden seemed to be taken over just outside the box. But many are saying he just tripped. Is that true?
Well, it's two things. He was fouled, but he managed to continue, and then he slipped. So whether the referee was dragging it back for the initial foul, or whether Foden fooled him with the slip, we can't exactly say, because referees never come out and justify themselves. But anyway, we got the free kick, much to the chagrin of the Brighton fans and the commentators all over the world. And let's talk about this free kick, because you wouldn't have been fooled by this deflection, would you, Bernard? Surely not.
Well, I wouldn't have been fooled by the free kick, because I thought KDB was going to take it. I did not think for, and that's a good thing, isn't it? Because obviously they were probably set up for that as well. Because obviously KDB was lining up for it, wasn't he, with Foden. I just thought where it was, possibility, I think the ball was probably positioned that far to the left that it probably would have been difficult for KDB to get his foot around it. So it was ideal for Foden for his left foot, if you like. But I don't hold any real hope when Foden lines up for a free kick. But, you know, you make your own luck, don't you, Mike? And it was just, who did it? Was it Gross it hit the back off?
Pascal Gross.
I don't know. What was Gross doing? I mean, he must have been running back towards goal. I don't know if Alvarez was up there trying to sort of distract him. But he seemed to turn sideways to it, didn't he? So he didn't get a view of him coming at him. And he couldn't do anything about it. He just hit him on the back. Of course, Steele was going across to cover the original shot, which he would have done very comfortably. I think it was on target, so that's obviously why Foden got the goal counted for him. Yeah, you can't do anything about that, but we'll take it. Say, if you don't shoot, you're not going to score, so I don't mind. How many times have we been beaten by horrible deflections? I'll take it all day long.
Did you have that thing when you were playing football as a kid that we did, and we always shouted, power counts, whenever there was a deflection or something?
No, no, mate, no, I don't know that one.
that was greedy for goals. Anyway, it was 8 minutes until the next goal, 3-0, game effectively over, and it's that man again on the 34th minute. And Brighton decided that their solution to the position that they were in was to start playing it like City around at the back, and it didn't quite work out for them, did it?
No, I mean, they do play that system very, very well. I mean, they played that system very well for even when I think Potter was there. They were very good. They're very good at it. I've been three times, I think, the last four seasons. And each time I've been quite, and even when old Cucurella was playing, I was quite, you know, impressed with the way they do play it about at the back. And as I said, Steele copes quite well with it. But unfortunately, is it Barco, one of the newer players? They just held on to it too long. You could just see it because obviously as time drew on, they were pulling more, which was probably the idea, pulling more City players to them. I mean, I think it, at that stage, about five City players were sort of beginning to sort of claw all over them because they just kept on. They just kept it too long. They didn't know when to release it. And of course, poor Barco under the pressure and great work by Bernardo. People are sort of saying it just deflected. I thought what he did was pretty much meant. He got his body in a nice little flick through to Foden, who, of course, first time, if he'd paused, he might not have done it, but he first time into the far corner, a great goal. But I'm not going to pick on Brighton. They've got a lot of injuries, so they're probably not playing as well as they can do that possession-type football. But if you look at their stats for pass completion rate last night, it was one of the highest I've seen of a team against City. It was 89%, which was quite amazing. And that's what they do very, very well. But they just shouldn't. They just held on to it far too long, far too clever with it. And it gave us that chance to press them and cause the error.
Mm-hmm. And the sort of... It went to Bernardo Silva, and from that bubble deflection, Phil Foden again for number two. And as I mentioned earlier before, he's now on 84 goals, two ahead of the great Eric Cantona. Here's a pop quiz question for Bernard. Bernard, as you know, Phil Foden wears the number 47 on his back. Do you know why? I just found this out today.
I think I do actually, but I forgot. You have to tell us again because I think I'm fairly sure I do know, but I've forgotten.
Yeah, the reason he wears 47 is that was the age his granddad was when he died, when he passed away. Yeah. And the granddad and Phil used to play football together, you know, whenever he was much younger. Yeah. And so that's why he wears nice, that number.
A nice gesture, very nice.
Yeah, and also equally heartwarming comment after the match from Foden about his biggest influence. Which was David Silva, and he says, "I just love David Silva. He was very down to earth and on the field. What a player! His first touch, his awareness. He's someone I always look up to. He thinks about Phil. Phil thinks about David Silva all the time. And there it was, 3-0 at halftime. Bernard, any other reflections on that first half before we go into the next?"
Pretty much game over, mate, wasn't it? Of course, there'll be more controversy the second half, but 3-0 up. You're hoping. I don't think we're going to get anywhere near Arsenal as far as goals are concerned. We're not worried about that anyway. Some guy was saying we should really go out and try and batter teams. I said, well, let's just win the games. Don't worry too much about goal difference. That'll sort itself out because as long as we win the games, it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. If Arsenal can drop some more points, fantastic. Mm-hmm. But 3-0, job done, really. It's just a matter of how long Pep would keep the team on the pitch because I think he's reasonably happy with that team starting again for the next game in a couple of days. So it's how long he could keep it and before changing and feel comfortable changing because 3-0 is obviously okay. But, you know, again, if Brighton weren't behind the door, they still, you know, they get a goal back. You never know anything can happen in football. So it was just a matter of trying to keep it tight and add to it if we could, I suppose, in the second half.
Mm-hmm. In the halftime break, Bernard, as you were mulling it over, who were the standout players for you?
I thought the whole team played very well, mate. I just thought it was a great team effort. Aki, you know, in that sort of central defensive role, pulled the strings. And we know Aki's quite capable of that. We love seeing him as a left back. That's where we think he's better. But, you know, he brings that coolness and that calmness to the defence as well. I mean, of course, the Phil Fodens and the KDBs will get most of the glory. Walker to some extent, because people thought Walker played better. I thought he was, as I say, I think I commented before, I thought he made two or three dodgy passes or dodgy errors, as well as that assist that he got. I just thought generally certain players, like Rodri, I just thought certain players who've not quite, Alvarez, certain players are not quite at it. looked a lot better. It's obviously easy when you go a goal or two ahead because it can calm you down. Of course, you know, you can't say, all right, if it'd been nil-nil, they wouldn't have played as well. It's, you know, you can only play what you're playing. So, yeah, I was quite impressed with the team performance. I thought a couple of City fans I was chatting to there saying it's the best away, but you know, we've won a few away, of course we have, but it's one of the best away performances of the season, if not the best away performance so far. So I think that says a lot, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bernard, it took 17 minutes before we got another goal. Anything in those 7 minutes that is worth talking about?
Yeah, well, they had the first real claim for a penalty, didn't they, with Gross got pulled over. Apparently, again, I couldn't see where up the other end. I don't know how much Rodri did grab him, but if it's one of those where he sort of fell over a bit easily, you've seen him given. You certainly, put it this way, if he'd been wearing a Liverpool shirt, he would have probably got the penalty, wouldn't he? Let's be absolutely honest about it. I said, without watching it back, which I haven't had time to, I think VAR didn't overturn the referee. Once a referee makes that decision, the VAR shouldn't really overturn it unless it's clearly obvious. I don't know. What do you think? Obviously, if you had a chance to see that, what did you think about it?
Well, I kind of agree with... I did watch it back, and most people agreed that it was what could be described as a gentle tug from Rodri. Yeah. But not penalty worthy, and I don't think that many people are talking too much about that unless you're real diehard.
Another one, didn't they, after that with is it Aki's arm? Did it Aki's arm or something in the 57th minute?
Again, yeah, that was nowhere near it really. They've got rules about this that you're. Hand has got to be your arm has got to be so far away from your body you know that you can't really argue that it hit you accidentally, so that wasn't the case for this one either, unfortunately for Brighton fans, but we could go into the goal now that if it wasn't safe by then, it certainly was, and it's your man Alvarez again.
Yeah.
What do you think about this one?
He had a couple of other goals, didn't he? Because as I said, it was fifth time as a charm. In about 60 minutes, he had one that a low drive that Steele sort of got it at a second attempt. He sort of spilled it, didn't he? But then managed to get hold of it. This was up our end, so we got a good view of that. And of course, then he looked for the top right corner and sent it just slightly over the bar by a few inches. So he was getting his aiming anyway. He was getting his scouts out. And of course, on 62 minutes, still plenty of time left, of course, at that stage. Go on, mate, sorry.
No, I'm just saying... Ederson made this goal, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, this is what we miss about Ederson. I mean, we rave over Ortega, and he's a great keeper. But and I didn't mention him before. I thought Ederson was extremely good last night as well. There was two or three little things that he collected from corners or when a player was through and he got the blocks in. I thought Ederson was excellent last night. And this is why he's our number one, and he'll remain our number one, certainly as long as Pep's there. And I think he tried one a bit early, didn't he? I just saw someone put something on the internet today. Didn't quite come off. But then, of course, Walker with his pace, and that young lad who's obviously not played many games as left back. Okay, I mean, well, of course, Walker took full advantage of the fact he's got a young, naive sort of fullback to play against, and he did everything right, Walker. But a typical Walker, he nearly made a right mess of it, didn't he? I think they claimed handball, and it didn't look as though he handballed it from our angle. I think they did a VAR check, didn't they, as he was going through. It's hit his chest, or that's what Walker claimed. I couldn't see any difference to that. And of course, he got inside a Barco, which we've seen strikers do to Walker a few times this season, where they've got inside of him and then curled one in. But then he sort of miscontrolled it. He sort of let it go, didn't he? And of course, Steele attempts very bravely to come and get it. And of course, Walker slides in. Now, on another day, I've seen that given as a foul. You know, I've seen that go against the striker and the keeper get the foul. But the keeper didn't make anything off it. All credit to Steele. He didn't complain about it. He just took it And of course, when that happened, it sort of broke nicely to Johnny on the spot, Mr. Alvarez. And this time, fifth time lucky, he slotted it into the unguarded net, didn't he, as the guardian called it. I think there was a defender there, so he had to get it past him. But yeah, again, a pre-assist, was it, from Edison? Is that what you call it? A pre-assist? And
yes,
Walker got a little bit lucky. He got himself into a great spot, nearly fluffed it. But ended up with, I think we'll claim that as an assist. I think he will anyway. I'm not sure if it came off the keeper or Walker back to Alvarez, but I'm sure Walker's claimed it as an assist. And yeah, 4-0, and you're hoping, we can at least manage a 5-0 like Arsenal did the other night, but unfortunately it wasn't to be.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, Bernard mentioned, guys, about the goal difference disparity between Arsenal and City, but that made it only 8.
Yeah.
So I mean that's credible. Not that we care about that, of course. Bernard mentioned, but we've given Alvarez some stick on the last few pods, Bernard. But just checking out, you can tell I've done my research for this pod, haven't you? 17 goals and 13 assists in all competitions this season. That's not nothing.
Is that really 17 yeah. goals, Alvarez?
In all competitions and 13 assists.
Well, that's pretty impressive, mate, isn't it? because he hasn't been that great, has he? Six, eight games I can remember. He's been okay. But I think he had a flying start, didn't he? I think from memory he was on fire, wasn't he, at the start of the season? But as I say, everyone's allowed a lull, aren't they? Well, even me and you are allowed a lull every now and then, you know, so... But Alvarez, as I said, much improved last night, and hopefully that'll give him the confidence now. I'm not overly sure whether he'll start against, you know, this week on Sunday, but I'm fairly sure he might be one of a couple to drop out. But I think that'll do his confidence a world of good. Even though if he gets dropped for the next game, probably won't do, will it? But,
we'll have
to see.
These stats sort of sneak up on you, and then they're surprising when you find out. I mean. At the moment, in the list of leading Premier League goal scorers, obviously you've got Haaland and Cole Palmer on 20. Phil Foden's now up to 16. He's only four behind him. So that tells you what kind of season he's having. But there we go, 4-0.
You can probably tell me about this one as well, because I've not had a chance to watch this one back. Gvardiol apparently clipped the player from a fire match, Chariots of Fire down. Obviously a penalty claim number 3 that was. I don't know if you remember that one, Mike. Was it anything in that one?
I do, and it was a clash of legs, and for me that was their best kind of claim to a penalty area, a penalty shout. But I mean, even that as well, I mean, it was clearly not intentional. So I don't know if that was the thing that was going through the referee's mind. But good man, that referee, good man.
yeah. And we did have before we finish on the game itself, Doku perhaps should have scored late on in injury time.
Oh, he should have scored. Yeah,
he had a great chance there. He should have opened it up and scored that. I was a bit disappointed. A 5-0, another goal would have been nice, but probably a little bit cruel on Brighton if it had gone to 5, I suppose. But we're not worried about them, are we? We're just worried about us.
Exactly. And guys, that was it. So a magical night when you had a couple of Kyle Walker assists and a Kevin De Bruyne header. So, I mean, that did for me.
What is it your mate used to say, drink it in, guys. It's not going to happen that much, if ever.
Absolutely.
Again.
Well, listen, let's. There are a few things knocking around on the internet, and we'd like to have Bernard's response to them, and we'll go through them. Now, let's talk about the first thing. Now, Bernard, apparently, according to Barcelona, Bernardo Silva is not worth 50 million. He's an option and not a priority. And you got one fantastic little comment from a Twitter wag here saying, the sun may shine brighter in Barcelona, but the grass is not necessarily greener. You know, maybe Bernardo should bear that in mind.
Well, there's a release clause, mate. The release clause has to be paid. It's as simple as that. The fact that Barcelona don't have a... two pennies to the name. What's everyone supposed to do? Bow down before them and just let them get on with it? They're a disgrace. They're a disgrace of a club at the moment. They spout all this stuff and they want the best and they've got nothing. We've not been paying for Torres yet, have we? As well, nope. Never mind the other guy who went, Cancelo, we never even got anything for Torres. I mean, this club is just an embarrassment at the moment. Of course, they're okay in the league, but of course they're not going to win that. But I just feel sorry for Gundo at the moment. But I'm sort of a bit miffed he ended up going to him because I don't think they deserve anything. I'm nothing wrong with the history of Barcelona. We talk about history, proud history, of course. Yeah, fantastic. But they just ignore him. He's not worth 50 million. Bernardo Silva is worth 50 million and more. It's as simple as that. But as I said, the whole idea of signing that new contract was we wanted a decent fee for him because we obviously thought at the start of the season that he will be on his way. I think we said it, me and you and Ray have said it, that this will be his last season. So we're not going to let him go on the cheap, hopefully.
Okay, let's move on to the next thing we'd like to have Bernard's comments on. Some rival supporters, who I will not name on Twitter, were talking about, the excellence of Kevin De Bruyne, but also they said, well, we don't have much more to see of him. He's coming to the end. Now, listen to this, Bernard. Again, from my studied research, in his last five games, let's look at this. He scored the opener and was man of the match against Palace. He was man of the match against Luton. He scored the equaliser against Madrid. The match-winning assist against Chelsea, and then the opener against Brighton. So that's not bad going for an old fella that's about to quit.
They got short memories, mate, haven't they? I mean, this guy was injured for two-thirds of the season, probably nearly three-quarters of the season. You don't just come back from something like that and on fire. And yet, after two or three games, he has come back and doing the business, and people are raving over him. I've seen people rave, not just City fans. I've seen people, the pundits raving over him again because class is permanent, is it? The old saying, isn't it? And, of course, not that he went out of form. He's probably been playing with an injury as well. Don't forget, he was playing with an injury last season. Who knows how long he's been playing with an injury, even when he was putting in some outstanding performances back in the day. People doubted him because he tended to, he tended to not finish the big games. That was a problem for City fans, and I'm probably even myself a little bit guilty of that. When it came to the big games, he always picked up an injury, or you expected him to go off for some sort of reason, and grossly unfair for what Kevin's done for us. But when he's playing like he is now, and he's just, and he loves it, he's enjoying it. He's a sulky bugger. Of course, he can be sulky. He can be a bit of a sulk. But that's why I've never really wanted him as a captain, because I don't, from a team point of view, I think he's not the right character to be a captain. But as a player, I'd have him play as long as he's fit. I'd have him there, and I'm glad he found a way for Foden and KDB to work last night. Now, if that means people like Haaland might struggle to get into the team, and we can win games, I don't care. It's all about City. It's not about individual players. And if KDB and Foden can work together, which we hope, and we have seen it does work sometimes. Sometimes it hasn't, but if Pep can find the right sort of formation, certain players might end up not playing as much, but that's not a bad thing, is it? As I say, we've still got another year or two of Kevin, hopefully. A lot of hints about Saudi Arabia and stuff, isn't there, at the moment? But, I think he's happy. If he's happy and Pep's happy, I say we don't know how long Pep's staying, but, I can see him staying until Pep goes anyway. Hopefully that'll be at least another season, if not two seasons.
Well, guys, this led me into a little bit of deeper research, and I wanted to know about the assist statistics for the players in the top five leagues in Europe. And we're going to tell you about this, and we've got a pop quiz for Bernard. So top of the assists is Florian Wirtz. He's 18 assists out of 39 games. 39 games, guys. Listen to the second statistic every time. We've got Alex Grimaldo, 15 assists out of 40. We've got Neco Williams, 14 assists out of 30. We've got Salah, 13 assists out of 34 games. So that's 39 games, 40 games, 30 games, 34 games, those four. Now, sandwiched in the middle is a certain KDB. He's got 14 assists, so he's number three on the list. How many games has he got those 14 assists? Now, the other guys, 39, 40, 34, 30, 34 games. How many games do you reckon it has taken KDB to get 14 assists and be number three?
Less than 20, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I would say 10.
Well, 14 assists in 16 games.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's absolutely incredible. And, it just shows you, I mean, talk of his demise are extremely...
I probably know it stands for the other players as well, but I mean, there's certain ones where he should have assisted the goal, and we've just not done the business when it came. Phil Foden or Haaland, whoever it's been, have not put a certain goal away. But I assume that counts for other players as well, not just KDB, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get Bernard's opinion on what I thought was one of the funniest tweets of the weekend. Sorry, not of the weekend, of this week. And this is a City account called The City Shack, who muses like this. Bringing Sergio Gomez on against Brighton in the second half was Pep's version of doing the Poznan. What do you think?
A bit harsh. I like Gomez because he's a City fan. So over the years, whether it's this team or a team from 30 years ago, if a City fan played for the team, we always give him. Certain players got a bit picked on. I think Edgell was a City fan, wasn't he? He got a lot of stick. But I've always got time for City fans, and I think I like Gomez. I mean, it doesn't surprise me bringing him on in midfield either. I mean, he's always performed better in midfield internationally, hasn't he, than he has as a defender. So it doesn't surprise me one iota, but at that stage of a game, it's not really. He's part of our first team squad, mate. He's not a Poznan player. He's like bringing me on. If Pepper shouted me over from the stand and said, "Bernard, do you want 10 minutes? Yes, that would be doing the Poznan and even worse, but I'm sorry, no, not with Gomez.
Well, guys, I'm just going to ask Bernard if he wants one of these. I'm going to go on another little shopping trip on the internet, and I'm going to go to T-Shirts United and see if I can get this. Bernard, do you want one? Do you want Dirty Cheating Bastards? Because I know Colin wants one.
Well, we sing it, mate, don't we? We sing the songs. I mean, you know, it's back of the net for us. But I mean, for a start, apparently there's going to be 40,000 United fans there. They've only got 30,000 tickets like we have, but obviously all these people who pay expensive amounts of money for tickets will probably be mostly United fans anyway around the world. So, but I have said double the order, mate, because all the City fans will take them as well. That'd be wonderful seeing Wembley all sky blue again, which it may have been if they hadn't been so slutchy to beat Coventry, of course. It'd be fantastic. This just shows you just how it's like the welcome to Manchester, isn't it? There's too many Manchester United fans who are not Manchester people or Northern people who know the City humour and what we get at and what we mean. And this is the problem with United. They don't understand, and they don't understand that shirt is just as appealing to us as it is to them. And someone said, "Shush, don't tell them. It's one of the greatest own goals in history. Just let them do it." You know, it's absolutely fantastic because, we've asked old Anthony at the Ginger Wig if he can sort something out for us for Wembley, you know, before see if he can do his own version of it, you know, because we sing with Cheating Bastards. I mean, we'll do it at Forest. I mean, it'll be funny on Sunday. I'm going down to, obviously, the City ground to watch the Forest game. There's no doubt we'll be calling them Cheating, but, you know, tongue in cheek, we'll be calling it. I mean, that's how we are. That's what City fans are. And unfortunately, most opposing fans just don't get it, or they're just too thick. I don't know. There's no excuse. It's cut. That's proper banter for me. And a lot, you know, there's a lot of nastiness on the internet and stuff, but we're very good at proper banter. But unfortunately, many fan bases aren't. They haven't got a clue. I think, you know, all right, it's all right, blowing our own trumpet, isn't it? But I think we have that level of gallows humour that, you know, we can laugh at ourselves as well. But unfortunately, a lot of other teams' fans don't realise this. And it would be funny if they all turned up in it. I doubt it very much. It's not like the old bucket hats, of course. But because for a start, they probably have to pay for them. So they're going to have to pay for them. They probably won't sell any, but there you go.
Well, I don't know if by any chance the owner of T-Shirts United is thinking of selling those shirts. Well, I'm in for one. I tell you, you're going to make a lot of money.
What do you think of that? Is there some sort of thing with the under-16s, the subsidising the tickets? Did you hear that for United fans?
I didn't hear that. Let us know a little bit about that.
Yeah, under-16s. Apparently the club and the under-16 fans going, even though the tickets, of course, are far, far more, they'll just pay £5 and the club will subsidise the difference. I think that's, you know, for United, that's a pretty decent thing. I mean, obviously, other fans are taking the mick, of them, but I think that's quite a good move. I think that's, and perhaps that's showing some of the these guys they've been nicking from us in places, you know, behind the backroom guys, that someone's got a bit of nous there, but... Interesting. It was certainly interesting. Certainly an interesting thing to do because you don't get as many kids. You certainly don't get many as many kids at the. Certainly didn't get as many kids last year at the City United Cup finals. It's mainly a grown up because people are wary of trouble, of course. Problems which there have been with City and United wasn't too bad last season. Hopefully the police have learnt and it'll be another reasonably peaceful venture this season again, but apart from the service stations where it kicked off at one or two, that was all. But yeah, I thought it was a good idea from United. That's what I've seen anyway from an official source, so I'm thinking that's what they're doing and all good for them. Well done.
Well, let's give Bernard a few other things to chew on before we finish. One person that I kind of, you know, sadistically hope is listening is Trent. This means more Alexander Arnold, because Liverpool got tanked 2-0 by Everton. How did that happen?
Well, Everton wanted it more, mate. Simple as that. I mean, you can't argue with it. It's a plain fact. It meant more to Everton than it did to Liverpool. There's no great conspiracies on that one. I believe, looking at the basic stats, I didn't see the game. Looking at the stats, Liverpool were, you know, had the most possession, they had the most shots, blah, blah, they had the most XG. But you've got to take your chances, haven't you? So all credit to Everton, because how many years, I think that's the first time in 12 years they've beaten at Goodison, isn't it? So they, you know, constantly rolled over. About time they actually got a victory. And of course, we're not complaining.
What about this one that we mentioned at the top of the show, Bernard? Now, Mark Goldbridge, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of subscribers, and actually they were all complaining. He cut off his live watch along and at halftime and goes on a rant about the league being boring and this is boring and financial doping and 115 charges, and it's amazing because I was looking on and then he gets literally a bit, possibly even 100 complaints from his own people about that. He just cuts it off and won't continue. I mean, seriously, that's just silly.
Well, I mean, it works, mate. He probably lost 100 subscribers and gained another 1,000 or something. This is just what he does. He's so bloody good at it. I mean, I know you like him. I know you like to have a good laugh at him. And I must admit, I do occasionally, if something that pops up on my thing on social media, and I'll have a look to see what he's on about. And that Liverpool guy as well, who's not quite as followed.
Oh, yeah. That guy, yeah.
The Irish bloke. But, yeah. I mean, it is what he does. He's superb. I mean, why not? He's not going to probably won't lose any money from it. Why not have an early night? I mean, you may as well to do it in the first place. To actually do a watch-along for rival teams is beyond anything, you know, we would do on our own channels. We just wouldn't do it, most fans. But he does stuff for other football, doesn't he? He's involved with other... with all the teams. So, hey, tell you what, I'll tell you what, I bet he's got a nice big house with that room he's got. I bet that's his little den. That's what I'll be earning a bloody fortune for it. Whatever it is, it works for him. And hey, I'm not going to quibble. I'm a, you know, I've tried to be an entrepreneur in, you know, over the many years, unsuccessfully. By the end of it, I've ended up, you know, not much, but all credit to him finding that spot and doing well out of it. But he is sort of comedy gold, if you like to watch that sort of thing. I know you do. he is funny, but it's just the reactions, and his lounge pants he usually does his productions in. He doesn't even mess around with a nice suit on or a nice jacket, does he? He's got his lounge pants on most of the time. Hey, so who's laughing, mate? I think he's laughing at the end of the day. It doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, good luck to old Brent up there in Nottingham. Anyway, Bernard, would you be happy to see Joe Hart come back? He says he's not going to do any coaching, but he would take a non-footballing role. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we have ambassadors, don't we? And sadly, some ambassadors either get old and have to retire and can't do it anymore. You know, a lot of City legends now are certain guys, you know, you think of your Tony Books, who, you know, you don't hear from too much, and they're knocking on now, and, you know, it has to be done, doesn't he? And we're always good at getting these old players back. There's always room for it. Joe Hart's well loved. Anyone who's well loved will be welcome back. And I think he's got of course, he wasn't brought up as a City fan, was he? Was it Shrewsbury? He was from originally.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think he was brought up as a City fan, but obviously, like most players, even players who only spent a few months at City, there's just something about City, and opposing fans can laugh all they want and go on about things, but there's a lot of people that, you know, once you play for City, you have a fond memory, right? You might still have your own favourite teams, but you know, they have an effect. They have an effect, and I'm talking players back to the 60s, 70s, 80s, not just because we're winning trophies now, but back in the day, a lot of players have a lot of love for City. You get the odd ones, of course, who leave under Niall Quinn. I won't mention too many names, who leave under suspicious circumstances. Andy Inchcliffe, you know, who don't have much nice to say about City, but I think 95% of any bloke who plays for City, and I'm sure they do for other clubs as well, but I always get the feeling with this, there's just something about City and the fans that's been there throughout history, and it's not about trophies, it's just the organisation. It's the sort, and even now, there's certain players, we wouldn't take them on, would we? We wouldn't take them on as City players because we don't like the cut of the jib, if you like. They're not City players, and that's what we like. And of course, these guys in the past have come back as ambassadors because they're nice blokes. Simple as that. You know, who'd want Roy Keane as an ambassador, someone like that? You know, you wouldn't want it. But City have lots of guys in history and playing for us now that will be gladly coming back in. When I'm no longer on this planet, they'll gladly be coming back as ambassadors, etc. So long may it continue.
Well, Bernard, 5 games to go, plus the FA Cup final. Now, the next game is a game you're going to, and it is against a team with an unfortunately named stadium.
Yeah, it didn't confuse me, but in the old days of radios in the 70s and 80s, it's, you know, when you heard City Ground, I always automatically thought of City's Ground. It never sat quite well with me, and it probably still doesn't to this day, of course, even now when it doesn't, it's not the same anymore. But Forest, interesting game. It's going to be totally different to the Brighton game, that's for sure. I do believe we'll probably Pep. He's not going to make many changes for this. If he makes one or two, I'd be surprised. I think he'll go with what were, as long as the players are okay after the Brighton game, as long as they've all warmed down well and they're all okay. I can't see many changes. I mean, I'd love to see Diaz back in there. I was very surprised that Doku or Grealish weren't playing. You know, it's very surprised if Haaland's back. If Haaland is fit, I'd be very, very surprised if he plays in this one. And you've got Forest, who are seething, aren't they? They're absolutely seething now after that Everton defeat, and obviously made various approaches to the referee at PGMOL, where it's called, and absolutely disgusted. And then you get City playing against Brighton, who seem to get the rub of the green from the referee. So it's setting itself up for a game that I'm thinking, oh God, we're not going to get anything here, because Forest have been whinging about it. We seem to have a bit of a fairer referee the other day. So it's all got to end in tears for us. But I think if Pep keeps that sort of style of team. I think we'll be all right. But it's going to be a totally different game, of course, a bit more physical, I think, this certainly than the Brighton game. But if we play as well as we did the other night, I think we'll walk away with the 3 points. I'm hoping for another comfortable watch. You know, it's nice to watch City and not be too tense, you know, thinking, oh God, we're hanging on with just by one goal, even though we've dominated. So take our chances, we'll win it. But it'll be interesting because Forest will be, we'll all know, won't we? Forest will know how their opponents have done, of course, because they all play before us, and we all know how Arsenal, Liverpool have done before we play. So interesting. It'd been interesting until, you know, half an hour before kickoff, when we know how everything's panned out. Forest might well be happy with the draw now. Would that affect how they play? Or will they, you know, City will play for the victories, no doubt about it. A draw's no good to us. Even if Arsenal lose or draw at Tottenham, a draw isn't particularly any good to us. So we'll play to win. It's the mindset of Forest is going to be very interesting after the problems he had. And we'll see. We'll know within 90-odd minutes, mate, what their mindset was compared to ours.
Yeah, well, Forest are sitting in 17th place, guys. They've played 34, so they've got four to go. Minus 18 goal difference and 26 points.
Is there a possibility... I mean, they must have appealed the 4-point deduction. Is there a possibility that will change before the end of the season, or is it tough?
I don't know. I don't know enough about it.
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's absolutely crazy. When you bring in these rules, you should have deadline dates and set dates. It's just absolutely ridiculous. What, you know, I'm talking from a City point of view as well. With our things, there's got to be rules and regulations. You can't just willy nilly find it. You've got to say to right, if you're found guilty of this, this is imposed from the season after you're found guilty. I just don't understand the logic of what the Premier League do. It's absolutely chaotic for me, absolutely stupid, but it doesn't surprise me. I just don't understand it. It's just odd, isn't it? I mean, if Forest had been in breach, then there should be a thing saying, well, if a season's ongoing, perhaps it should be put to the season after. I just don't understand anything for Forest to say. If Forest had those 4 points, they'd be okay, wouldn't they? In the same way Everton, of course, are okay now. But, of course, they would have been okay. It's just ridiculous. And whatever happens to us. But I hope it's anything does, hopefully, fingers crossed, we're all saying nothing will come of it. But if we do get points reductions, 1,500 points off, do it at the start of the season. At least we know where we are.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, let's finish off with a laugh. Put Bernard on the spot by making him uncomfortable. And say, how many Nottingham Forest players currently playing in their squad do you know?
The big guy up front, Chris Wood.
Chris Wood, yeah, he's their leading goal scorer, the 13. Is that the only one you can mention?
He's the one who springs to mind. I mean, I can't really think of too many others. I've not really looked at it, mate. I'll be honest with you. I just know they're not doing very well. I've not gone into any great detail, but of course he's their main man, but he's not done much, has he? They've got a double barreled name guy, haven't they? Gibbs White, is it?
Yeah, he's number two with six goals.
Yeah, he's okay. But apart from that, I'm struggling, mate, to be honest. I mean, if I see the team, I'll say, oh, yeah, I know him. But obviously, offhand, my apologies to Nottingham Forest for not knowing too much about your boys. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's where I can come in and help you, Bernard. certain players that you will recognise. Willie Bowley.
Yep.
Divock Origi. Remember him?
Yep.
And Callum Hudson-Odoi.
Yep.
Another double-barreled one there.
They had a massive squad, of course, didn't they? I mean, was it 2 or 3 years ago when the team photo, they had about 600 players on it, didn't they, if I remember rightly?
Yeah. Well, guys, I tell you what.
Who's the goalkeeper, mate?
That is a good question. I don't know, but he's probably going to have a stormer against us. If what I think is going to happen is going to happen.
On my mind, but it's not him, is it? It's not Henderson.
No. I'm not able to tell you that, guys. But I tell you what, Bernard is going to this game, and we'll learn everything we need to know about Nottingham Forest after we come back.
He was their manager, guy from Wolverhampton. I forgot he was, until I did my little badge with his picture on. I forgot he was the manager. I forgot all about that he'd gone there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he looked a bit like that runner, didn't he? The one who's a Brighton fan who run the length of Africa, was it? That beard, obviously not ginger, but, that unkept look.
Indeed. They've got two goalkeepers in their squad that I can see. Someone called Matt Turner and another one called Mats Selse. Never heard of them, actually.
I've heard of Turner. Not too sure on the other one.
Well, okay. Well, listen, guys, I think that'll do us for now. We will be back with you after this game with Bernard, and we'll find out everything that we need to know about them, and I'll hopefully be celebrating another 3 points. So that was a great pod, guys, and we'll finish off here in the normal way by saying have one on us, and up those Blues!
Up the Super Blues!